When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I'm going to start this one. I try to start these Thunder Punch Dailies a little naturally, you know, as if you're just entering into the conversation with me, keeping the show less of a produced show where I'm reading off a teleprompter, speaking very naturally off of an index card with some, you know, scribbles written onto it. But this one is announcing something because, after all, it's been a long time since I've done the Thunder Punch Daily Show. And if you recently discovered the show and you're just going through the archives, you're like, what do you mean? There was episode 150 and then there was episode 151 just in the feed. That's all. The last episode was recorded in September of 2013. This is recorded November 1st, 2014. So it's been over a year since I've done the show. But I'm bringing it back because it has to do with an art challenge that Rob Stenzinger and I are putting together at leanintoart.com. Actually, the URL I should use is artsoundoff.com. I'm going to explain the art challenge in a minute and why Thunder Punch Daily is coming back. But here's the headline. Let me start with the headline, and then I'm going to build my point. The headline is that for the month of November in 2014, I'm going to update Thunder Punch Daily every day for 30 days. So a whole month of daily updates of Thunder Punch Daily. Why do such a thing? Well, this is where we get to the part where I build my point. So since it's November 1st, that means that last month, yesterday, was October. And October, as many people in the arts are aware, is full of its own creative challenges. We have 24-hour comic day at the beginning of the month. And then we had Inktober, which was pioneered or kicked off by a guy named Jake Parker, MrJakeParker.com, artist of Missile Mouse, The Astonishing Secrets of Awesome Man, the Flight Anthologies, Antler Boy and Other Stories. The guy's done a lot of really cool stuff. He's an amazing artist. And he started this thing a couple years back, well, actually, I think in 2009, called Inktober, where he challenged all of his fellow artists, well, challenged himself, really, and just asked us all to play along, saying, I'm going to do an ink drawing every day for the whole month of October, calling it Inktober. And it's an opportunity to break out your analog inking tools and analog, you know, real world, non-digital, I should say. Analog is always kind of a dicey word to use in this situation. But we know what I mean when I say that. Like, that's the problem. I don't get hung up on semantics unless the meaning is not clear. Like, if you say, I could care less, you know, I know what you meant there. You really should be, I couldn't care less, but I'm not going to correct you on that as long as I understand what you meant. But if you use a word that confuses the meaning, obfuscates the meaning, then we're going to get into some kind of semantical debate. Anyway, side note. So I did the Inktober challenge this past October, and man, oh man, I had a lot of fun doing it. It was so much fun finding the time to do a sketch every day, proving to me that it can be done, because let's face it, day job, family, other responsibilities, lots of things can get in the way of you finding the time to do the thing, and having a challenge where you make yourself accountable by publicly proclaiming, I'm going to do this thing, makes you find the time, proves to you that you can do it. Now, did I do it every day? No, I did not find the time to do it every day. I missed about 10 days or so of the challenge. But rather than make excuses about it, take it as a learning experience. Why didn't I find it? Let's look at that. Let's chew on it internally. Why didn't I find the time? And you know what? No money was riding on this thing. Nobody's lives were on the line. So it's okay to miss it as long as you don't give up on the thing. And that's what I did. And that's why I'm happy about finishing it. Is that, yeah, there was like a handful of days in between where I didn't do it, but in the end, I didn't stop doing it as a result of that. I picked up the pieces and just kept running, right? Making it to the end of the marathon, as it were, even if I was coming in last. It was really cool to break away from digital tools. As anybody who follows me on Instagram or on Twitter or, you know, any of the other social places, Google+, you guys have seen that, you know, what I try to make a habit out of at least having Thursday mornings be a time where I can sketch. And I've been sketching primarily digitally over the past couple of years, ever since I got that Galaxy Note 10.1. And I just go to a coffee shop. I give myself an hour to an hour and a half just to sit there and enjoy a cup of coffee and draw whatever the heck I want for a little bit. And the thing I love about digital sketching is it's so easy to share it. Just do a screen grab or just export it as a JPEG and boom, I can pump it out to all the different social places, onto my blog and whatever, without any kind of, like, you know, positioning a camera, getting the lighting right, or scanning it and cleaning it up. No, just send out the sketch right from the digital app. Awesome. Inktober, because it's done on paper, you know, you do have to break out that camera. You do have to look for good lighting. You do have to get things in focus, making it a little bit more of a, you know, there's a little bit more friction in there. But because of the nature of just do a quick ink sketch, and it's up to every, and there's another thing I like about it, it's up to every user, every participant to choose how elaborate they want to be about this thing. If you feel like you got to do a big, you know, 24 inch by 24 inch drawing and scan it and do a lot of digital cleanup and then do some like ink washes and watercolors on it, that's your choice. You get to do that. I chose to try to keep it under 20 minutes a sketch and just put it in, you know, like a Moleskine sketchbook and just do a quick snapshot with my camera on my phone and just get it out the door and not think about it too hard as far as like, you know, artistic execution. Just try to draw something that looks kind of neat. Makes me happy, right? And spend some time with my brush pens again, which was super, super fun. So, but, you know, another nice thing that this kind of, you know, brought about was when I was looking for these times when I could draw, I found myself drawing in more times where I would normally think it was an inopportune time. Like, so for instance, I was at one point during Inktober, I was picking up takeout and I'm sitting there waiting for the food to get made and I'm sitting at this table. I'm like, well, wait a second. I got my sketchbook on me at all times. Now's the time. I can start working on my next Inktober sketch. You know, it's going to take 15 minutes for the food to get made. All right, let's try to get the sketch done in 15 minutes. Let's get the photo taken and get it uploaded before my food gets done. It's racing the clock and fitting it into my day, which made me more aware of the fact that there is no, well, there's always inopportune times to be drawing, but there's fewer inopportune times to be drawing than I once thought. That was another takeaway I got from the whole experience, which was super cool. It was fun watching others doing this stuff too. That was the neat thing. It's a time box thing. It's 30 days. We're only doing this thing for 30 days. Everybody participate along. Here's a hashtag to follow. So I get to watch everybody else's Inktober sketches coming across the feed as well. And not to turn it into some kind of dumb macho competition thing. It was more like, oh, wow, look at what they're doing. Look at what, the, you know, some of them were using ink washes. And like, wow, that looks really sweet the way they're doing. And we're all playing along at the same time. That can create a sense of camaraderie. And that's where I can get to another thing, benefit I got out of doing Inktober is my stuff got noticed by more people who had never heard of me before because there were people following the tag. Suddenly one of my drawings came across their feed as they were following the Inktober hashtag and boom, they're like, hey, I'd never seen this before. I never heard of you before. Cool. I'm following you now. So if you're into that social media collecting, which I find problematic, but understandable, then yeah, there's a benefit there. It gets the word out about you as an artist as well when you play along with one of these kinds of things, right? And then I found another benefit out of doing it, out of just using it as an opportunity to flesh out ideas for the Boulder and Fleet webcomic. As some of you know, I recently launched a webcomic at boulderandfleet.com. Not a plug. This is actually ties into the example. But I was like, if I'm going to do these sketches every day, what am I going to sketch about? Oh my gosh, I'm going to run out of ideas, aren't I? We're always worrying about that. At least people like me worry about that kind of thing. What happens if I don't have an idea that day? What happens if I only got 10 minutes to do it and I can't think of anything cool to draw and I draw something dumb and I don't want to share it? So I said, well, I've got this script written for this Boulder and Fleet webcomic, and I got a scene written that comes up, you know, months from now. But and when I wrote the script, I said, you'll figure this part out months from now, Jers. But this is essentially what happens is that Boulder and Fleet are going to meet a whole bunch of other adventurers for hire in this scene in the book. And I wrote a few notes in the margins of, oh, it could be these characters, could be these characters. I don't know yet. We'll figure it out as we get closer to that deadline. So I said, well, if I'm going to be doing these sketches, why don't I use it as an opportunity to work out some of those character designs now, right? It's like what I should be doing anyway, doing character development and world building and all that background stuff. But I'm doubling it up on the Inktober challenge to, you know, get some work done on my webcomic while participating in the challenge, while visiting with my analog or real world tools, and while doing all those other things that I've already talked about for the past 8.5 to 9 minutes. So the big idea, what's the big idea? Why did you take so long to get here, Jers? Well, I like to build my points slowly. I'm trying to learn to put my headlines first. But as I build my point, the big idea is that it helped me keep a creative flow state over a broader period of time. It by keeping that daily deadline in front of me, and in a fun one, not a scary, you know, frustrating, stressful deadline of you're going to lose your job if you don't do this, but a fun deadline of like, oh, I don't want to miss out on the cool thing that all my friends are participating in too. It compelled me to find more periods of time in my day to stay into that in that creative zone. So hugely beneficial. Thank you to Jake Parker for instigating this whole Inktober thing. I had a blast doing it, and I'm probably going to do it again next year. So while I'm riding high on this challenge, Rob and I were talking, Rob Stenzinger of leanintoart.com and interactive-storyteller.com, creativecodekit.com. That's where you can get his ebook on how to create video games in HTML. It's a great book, and everybody should check it out, creativecodekit.com. He and I were talking about, like, wow, what a great time we had doing this thing. And wouldn't it be cool to do more of these kinds of creative challenges? And yeah, you've got NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month in November. You got the 30 Characters Challenge with Tyler James, over at 30characters.com coming up for the month of November. There's plenty of challenges to go around. But then, I thought, well, what's another thing that we make? And one of the things that Rob and I make together is the Lean Into Artcast and the Extra Lean Show. So one of us wound up saying, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool to do a creative challenge where we just art journal every day? Basically, the same kind of open, low-risk kind of challenge that Inktober presents. But instead of visiting with your analog tools, you're visiting with a moment of reflection where you turn inward on yourself and say, well, how did things go today? What am I hoping for? What am I searching for? What am I working toward? Or what am I frustrated with and struggling with? What am I hoping to conquer in the next day? What did I learn today from this day's work that I'm going to take into tomorrow's work? What chance encounter did I have? What thing did I hear on the radio that is I'm going to make a special note of for follow-up or inclusion in my next round of work, right? The same way we talk about things with friends. You know, I've said in lots of interviews, I was on the Stuff Said Show, another show that you should check out, actually, by the way, stuffsaidshow.com. I was interviewed on there. And one of the things I highlighted in that is that I have a buddy that I talk with on the phone every week for going on 20 years now. And one of the things we talk about is just like the cartoons and stories that we like. And in the years of doing that, I realized that it was kind of like a graduate course in story analysis for me. And I learned a lot about what I'm attracted to and what my tastes are as a storyteller just by talking it out and sounding it out with somebody else and using them as a sounding board. And also as somebody to just listen to me while I'm being frustrated or irritated with working on something, right? Or sharing my triumphs with me, listening while I'm going like, oh, this was awesome. This was so good. I conquered that thing I worked on really hard. So let's, that's what the Thunder Punch Daily Show is essentially, is me sounding off about this stuff. That's what Rob's Polytechnicast was. So let's do it every day for the month of November, and let's invite everybody else to play along. And if you go to artsoundoff.com, you'll see the challenge, the details of the challenge, as it were. The big idea, the broad idea is, like, record a 5 to 10 minute microcast every day for the month of November, if possible. Or, like Inktober, you could miss a couple days, like I did with Inktober. And it's not the end of the world. It's just a thing you're trying to get into a habit of. It's a thing you're trying to, flex your muscles on. This idea of reflecting on what's going on with your work and with the way you think about your work and sharing that with other people with the hashtag ArtSoundOff. Share it on Twitter. Probably that's one of the better places to do it. But you can share it any place. Put it on your blog. Put it on Google Plus or Tumblr or whatever, but with the Art Sound Off hashtag. And then everybody can follow it and play along or follow along. And just like the Inktober challenge, I suspect that you will find interesting, unexpected benefits out of doing it. If nothing else, it will just reinforce and help you crystallize what's going on with your work and helping you foster that analytic eye that we're always talking about on the Lead Into Artcast. But I don't want to push anybody into this thing. If it's something where you're like, well, I don't have time for it. Yeah, you know what? It took me until now to do Inktober. I didn't have time for it before, but I was glad I did it. So if it's the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, I think I could fit in a 5 to 10 minute thing in my day, I encourage you to at least give it a shot. And worst case scenario is you listen to the recording afterwards and go like, not going to happen, and don't share it. But if you are curious and if you're like, oh, this might be something I want to try, at least I can give it, a couple perfunctory little efforts. But how do I do it? What's the setup? Well, we've got resources on the page at artsoundoff.com where we list like different software, different kinds of hardware you can use to do this kind of thing. The big thing for me, the big disclaimer I would throw out is if this is your first time recording an audio journal, I really strongly, and this is the first time I will say this, I don't like to tell people how to do things or how to live their lives, but if you're doing this for the first time, really try to use free stuff, because there's no reason to invest money into like some kind of fancy audio rig if you're not actually going to use it. You could find out halfway through the month that it's like, this isn't for me, I don't want to do this after all. Well, then you're not out anything if you use free or previously purchased stuff. Meaning, if you got a desktop computer, if you got a laptop computer, there's an internal mic on that thing and it can record your voice. And the good news is there's lots of different kinds of software that's free that you can use. You could use, if you got like a desktop, with a hard drive in it, you could use Audacity. That's free and that's for Mac, PC, and Linux. But if you've got, like, let's say you got a Chromebook, there's, sites that let you record right within the browser, and they do all the configuring of the audio to let you share it online, like things like Audioboo. It's Audio Boom now, if you do search for it. But the mobile app is still called Audio Boo. SoundCloud is another one. SoundCloud is a freemium program. I mean, like, you get, I forget how many minutes of audio to share for free. But then, like, if you want to put more audio online, you have to purchase space. But then, it's like, Audio Boo is free. And the nice thing about it is it sets like a 5-minute time limit on you. So like, you really are racing against the clock, and it does not invite you to do more than that. I think they have a premium version where you can get more time if you need more time. But as a quick and dirty, like the audio equivalent of taking a snapshot of your sketchbook page, Audio Boo is where it's at. And there's a lot of like social sharing features of it as well. I dig it a lot. I don't use it a lot because I got my own rig that I use that I will share now in case anybody is curious. My desktop setup, my home setup that I'm talking on now, I'm talking into a Shure SM58 dynamic microphone, meaning that it's got a very tight cone of audio capturing coming out of it. So like if I move off to the side like this, but when I get right in front of it and like almost touching it, then you can hear me loud and clear. So it makes it better for, you don't hear any kind of background room noises. If Maggie comes in here and starts howling at me or something, you won't hear that. It's routed through an audio preamp, which boosts the signal. Then it's routed through a compressor limiter, which helps refine the signal. Then that goes into, the compressor limiter is a Behringer. Oh gosh, what is this thing? I don't even know what model it is, but it's a Behringer Multicom Dynamics Processor compressor limiter. And that gets routed into an Alesis Multimix 4 USB audio mixer. It's an analog audio mixer that mixes down the signal to a digital signal pumped into my computer, my desktop, just an iMac. And then I'm recording it in Ableton Live 8. All very kind of pricey stuff. Ableton Live is an expensive program. There's probably $400 or $500 worth of audio equipment sitting on my desk. But I bought this stuff years ago and incrementally and with the help of my musician brother. And it's because I do a lot of podcasting that I got all that expensive stuff. Doesn't have to sound that great. Audio quality is fine, but when you're doing an audio journal, using your, it's about content, not NPR sound quality. And again, this rig that I got has mostly to do with the fact that I do a lot of podcasting. So you can use this as like a little, bookmark that little section that I just did. If you decide that you do want to start taking it more seriously, sure, then you can invest in this thing. My mobile setup, because like Inktober, there's going to be times where there's opportunities for me to journal and capture this stuff when I'm not in the studio. I'm going to try to make time to do it in the studio every day, but I know that, it's not necessarily going to happen every day. Well, in that case, I've got an Android phone, Galaxy Note 2, an older phone. And I found a really nice app called, what is it called? Audio Evolution Mobile. Now, this app is not free. It's $7 and some odd cents in the Play Store as of this recording. But one of the nice things about it is that it works just like GarageBand, if anybody's ever used that. Or like Audacity for that matter. It has multi-track recording. You can put intro and outro music on it, and you can export the file as a compressed AAC file or a WAV file. So it's under $10, but that's still, that's $10 that you could be spending on something else. And it does take up some space on the phone. So I've got that as my backup to record on the road. And then there's a free app called AndFTP, A-N-D-F-T-P, which is an Android FTP client to like put it on my server so that I can download it when I get home and, you know, convert it to MP3. But I guess you wouldn't even need to use that. If you've got, you know, Dropbox or Box or OneDrive or Google Drive or whatever kind of cloud hosting application, you can share your file to that and, you know, your audio file and then get it at home and then do whatever kind of post-processing you want to do on it. But the thing I like about Audio Evolution Mobile is that I can record a Thunder Punch Daily as if I was just recording it on my desktop with the intro music and then the outro, you know, He-Man clip. But again, you know, I would recommend if you're going to use your smartphone or some kind of a mobile device like an iPod Touch, you know, Audio Boo, it's a free app and you can record right into it. It's just you push the button, start recording. You can, you know, stop recording midstream. You can do some editing on it and it's no frills and you don't have to worry about uploading anything. It's just on the site when you're done and then you just tweet it out. I really recommend if you've never done this before, that'd be the way to start. But I thought I would share it just in case anybody was interested in that kind of stuff. Now, how to prep for one, if you're interested in that, like what do you do, Jersey, when you're doing a Thunder Punch Daily? All I really do is I sit down and I'll think for, you know, 5-10 minutes, like, well, what am I going to talk about? You know, what happened today? I'm going to reflect a little bit on what happened today. Did anything jump out at me? Did anything catch my eye? Did anybody say something? Like one of the things that like I captured today was I was listening to the Moth podcast while I was working on some inking. And I was listening to a story about a businesswoman who was taking an art class for the first time, and she was highlighting the arc of terror that she went through in being a powerful, overachieving businesswoman in you know, feeling comfortable in her arena, and how frightened and powerless she felt being in the art arena, especially in an art class where there were no grades, and the teacher emphasized that there was no right or wrong way to do art. She felt lost, she felt adrift, she felt terrified, and she was kind of walking through the arc of how she came out on the other end and found the courage to actually do it. And so I made a mental note to myself, like, that's a topic someplace. That's something to grab and pick apart, because I spend a lot of time working with young people who are going through that exact thing. You know, especially like when I teach my teen classes, you start getting into situations where they get a little bit more nervous about actually drawing in front of people. But that's a whole nother episode. That's a whole nother topic I can talk about. So what I do is I'll just take I'll think about what I heard, what I saw, what I did. And then I take a index card, a 4x5, 4x6 index card. And I'll just jot down like a few key points, like a few bullet points. And then maybe I'll rearrange them. Like, well, this is where I should start. This should be the middle. And this should be how I close it out. And if there's a big idea in there, or if there's a special quote I want to put, maybe I'll put that. But usually not. Usually just a couple bullet points. Here's three things that I want to spend 15 minutes on, 10 minutes on. And that's usually it. And then I just turn on the mic and start going. Did you hear that pause just a second ago? It didn't last very long, did it? But it can feel really long when you're actually doing the talking. That's the final thing I'll throw on this is that, you know, I just try to talk naturally, try to talk stream of consciousness and let my points build themselves as it were through my, you know, whatever's going on in the back of my brain. Because that's the way we talk. That feels natural. That feels authentic. That feels like you're actually sitting in the room with me rather than me reading off of a script and trying to indoctrinate or to teach. I think that's another one. While I try to build essays, I try not to instruct too much. I just try to share. I think there's a difference in that, you know? And I think that's helped me in a lot of ways, which I won't go into here. I will point you at the Extra Lean episode where Rob and I announced this challenge, and that's at patreon.com/leanintoart. In the show notes, there will be a link to the exact episode where you can go and listen to it. But, you know, there's a lot of benefits to be had out of practicing this kind of thing, which I hope you will, you know, see for yourself. All right, so who am I? Jersey Drozd, cartoonist and teaching artist, comicsaregreat.com, boulderandfleet.com. The lady's voice you heard at the top of this episode when the music was playing, that's Tara Platt, and she's at bugbotpress.com. She is a voice actress. She and her husband, Yuri Lowenthal, wrote a book called Voiceover Voice Actor, What It's Like Behind the Mic. Hey, since we're talking about recording audio of our voices, that might be a book that you want to check out. And I don't get any money from this. I'm just plugging it just because. I did the illustrations in that book. So that's at bugbotpress.com. I will link to it in the show notes. The music was written by my brother, Elliot Drozd, who is a wonderful, talented musician. I don't know if he's got a site up right now. I think it was ElliotDroz.com, but I will have to check. And it'll be in the show notes as well. Either that or there'll be a big wah, wah. He doesn't have a website right now. But he's an awesome guy. And thank you, Elliot, for making the theme song for this. So I will be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
In today's story, I sure was busy. Boy, did that hurt. Ramming things may look like fun, but it really isn't. Trying to use your head the way I do is not only dangerous, it's dumb. I mean, you could get hurt badly. So listen to Rammy, play safely, and when you use your head, use it the way it was meant to be used, to think. Until later, so long.